Good morning again. As we continue now on our journey through the Torah of Midos, halachos pertaining to Midos. So this might not necessarily normally be categorized as a midah, but I want to talk about the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim. It does have to do with midos and how one approaches hosting people and having guests in their home. What we'd like to do is see what the Torah says about hachnasas orchim, see what the halacha says about hosting guests, and then hopefully at the end tie it together with a beautiful thought regarding Tisha B'Av and how hachnasas orchim relates to Tisha B'Av. The Chafetz Chaim writes in his Avos Chesed, the Avos Chesed is the work of the Chafetz Chaim, where he discusses laws dealing with interpersonal relationships outside of Shmiras HaLashon, paying workers on time, hosting people, things like that. So the Chafetz Chaim writes in Chelek Gimel, he says, the Torah speaks at length about Hachnasas Orchim. The Chafetz Chaim posits that, in fact, out of every single episode in the Torah that we find, there is no singular event that gets more details than Avram Avinu's Hachnasas Orchim for the Malachim. The Torah goes into so much detail that we find in no other realm. The Torah goes on and on and on about how much food he gave and how he prepared it and all the conversations. The Torah spends a huge amount of details describing Avram's hosting of guests. And we don't find such an in-depth description in any event anywhere else in the Torah. And it must be, says the Chafetz Chaim, that the Torah wants us to garner something, to gain something from the hosting that we find by Avram Avinu. Rabbi Daniel Feldman, who's Rosh Yiva NYU, so he has a whole sefer about Mitzvot Ben Lechavero, and in his chapter in Hachnasas Orchim, if you want to look over there, the book is called Divine Footsteps. He discusses the connection between Avram Avinu and Hachnasas Orchim and how the mitzvah is learned out from Avram Avinu, but we're not going to spend so much time today on Avram Avinu himself. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuchav Zayin says, cites a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says, Gedol Hachnasas Orchim Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash. That great, Hachnasas Orchim is so great as if you're going to learn Torah. It's on the same level as learning Torah we find with Hachnasas Orchim. Rav Dimi of Nahardea argues, says, not only is it on the same level as learning Torah, Hachnasas Orchim is more important than learning Torah. And the Vilna Gaon, in his Shnos Elio, the commentary on Masechet Shabbos, says that, and also the Chassam Sofer on Shabbos, and other poskim as well, that we paskin like Rav Dimi of Nahardea. Halacha l'maisa, hosting guests, Hachnasas Orchim, is more important than learning Torah. We'll see how that comes out practically later on. The Gemara then says, Gedol Hachnasas Orchim mehakabalas pnei hashchina. Greater to host guests in your home than to receive their divine presence himself. And this is also cited lahalacha by the Rambam in Hilchas Avelos in Perek Yudalad. The beginning of the 14th chapter of Hilchas Avelos is the Rambam discusses mitzvos benam lechavero, because being Menachem Avel is an extension of V'atrecha Kamocha and walking the ways of Hashem, and therefore there, that's what the Rambam decides to discuss all those halachas as well. The Rif, the Rush, the Orzarua, the Smag, the Mishnah Berurah in Simin Shidlam at Gimel, we'll get to that later on, says halacha lamaisa, paskening, that it is greater to host guests than to have a divine meeting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's how the halacha comes out. The Gemara in Brachos, Nandal, the Gemara in Chagiga, the Gemara in Menachos all say the same idea, that a person who's marich al shulchano, a person who hosts people in his home by his table, is given a brach of arichas yamim. People are looking for, you know, the fountain of youth, taking vitamins every day. Host guests in your home. That's the best thing you can do for arichas yamim, to have a long life. The Kad HaKemach, Rabbeinu Bachya writes in his encyclopedic work under the title of Orchim Guests, he says not only that, but it is a segula and a zechus to have children. For those who have difficulty bearing children and having children, hosting guests is zechus. He writes, V'chein matzinu shemitzvah hazos shehachnasas orchim, the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim, shehaprishala, the benefit that comes from it, v'haschar ba'olam hazeh, that happens in this world, heim habanim shekol hazar ba'zochel habanim v'chein matzinu ba'avram. We see from Avram Avinu, in the zechus of his hachnasas orchim, he married to have children. And this is a good segula. You don't have to go to Rebbe's for a bracha or things like that. be careful in the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchan. The Chavetz Chaim in his Avas Chesed writes that many people who are desperately pursue expensive and difficult means like segulos, he's not talking about medically a person should do whatever they takes in order to have the children, but regarding the realm of ruchnius, of spirituality, people go for segulos and all types of silly things and running around. Says the Chavetz Chaim, the greatest school you can have to have children is to engage in chesed and the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim, establishing gemachim and helping people out, says the Chavetz Chaim, is the best thing a person can do. Many people have done this in our generation, and they've been successful. If the bracha to have children comes through Hachnasas Orchim. Just to drive home the point regarding this issue, the Meiri writes there in the Gemara in Shabbos, La'olam yishtadel adam b'Hachnasas Orchim. A person should always be careful about Hachnasas Orchim. She'en lecha mitzvah gedola hemeni, because there is no greater mitzvah than hosting people in your home. What's the source of the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim? So we have three different sources. The first is a pasuk in Devarim that we discussed last time, the halachta bidrachav. Yes?
When we talk about Hachnasas Orchim, are we talking about, our friends.
We will discuss this. We will get to it. We will discuss this. It is on the agenda. Okay. So the pasuk says in Dvarim v'halach to bidrach, we walk in the ways of Hashem, and Chafetz Chaim says that this is the source of Hachnasas Orchim. Just a quote from an essay from Rabbi Soloveitchik. He wrote, "The Almighty is the great Machnas Orchim. His hospitality made it possible for humanity to exist, for the world to come into being. To be means to share in the infinite being of the Almighty. The Almighty, like Avram, invites people to partake of His boundless existence. Creation is an act of Hachnasas Orchim. How beautiful is the doctrine of Tzimtzum, contraction, that Hashem had to contract His being in this world to make room for us to exist. What is creation if not withdrawal by God in order to make it possible for a world to emerge in space and time? Infinity steps aside and infinitude is born. What is Hachnasas Orchim if not withdrawal by the master from a part of his home so that a stranger can occupy the empty part he creates?" HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us in the creation of the world that Hashem, we are guests in Hashem's world, and therefore we turn to Hashem to see that it is proper to host people in your personal space. Yeah?
Withdrawal by the master.
The exact quote is, withdrawal by the master from a part of his home so that a stranger can occupy the empty part he vacates. 2, the pasuk in Shmos says, "Ve'odata lehem es haderech le'yelchuva," you will show them the proper way to act. And the Gemara in Bav Mesiyah Daf Lamed says this refers to gemilas chasadim and hosted people in your home as well. Another pasuk in the Torah, and finally the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avelos, Hachnasas Orchim falls in the category of ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. Everyone wants to be hosted and to be helped by other people. Now, this raises the following issue. Is there a line? Is there a place where a person should say, "I can't do this"? The person is physically dangerous to the home. The person may take something with them. The person is spiritually dangerous to have in my home. If I have such a person in my home, it may affect what will happen with my children. It will affect the environment of the home. Is there a line to be drawn anywhere regarding Hachnasas Orchim and people that may be physically or spiritually detrimental to you and your family? Comes the Pelayoetz, Rav Eliezer Papo, and he writes that it has already been said, I'll read from the English translation, he cites the Chovos HaLevavos, that included in the attribute of caution is to not be overcautious. And it is written, don't be too righteous. Therefore, he says, a person must be careful in the matter written in the Sefer Ben Sira, you should not bring every person into your home. If you know that a man is not a good person, do not allow him into your house, especially if an individual has only one small house for his wife and children. It is a sin to accept a guest into the house to sleep. Likewise, when a person receives a guest in his home, he must protect all his belongings from him in order that he should not come to suspect him of anything in the house that is missing. If you have valuable things around the house and you have guests, if you think the person is not trustworthy, don't keep it out. Don't put that person in a situation where you're going to have to go and accuse your guests. Be responsible, he says. Says the Maseches Derech Eretz, continues the Pelayoetz, a person should suspect every man as if he is a thief and honor him as if he is Rabban Gamliel. You have to be able to watch your back. You have to know. You have to treat people in a way where you respect them, but also you're not ignorant. You're not being silly and foolish that people are taking advantage of you. He continues with the Avos. Rabbi Nassan relates an incident with Rabbi Yoshua, who received a guest. He fed him, gave him drink, escorted him to the attic to sleep, and then he removed the ladder from its place. In the middle of the night, the guest got up and stole everything in the attic. When he attempted to come down, he fell and broke his leg. Rabbi Yeshua said to him, "Our sages anticipated the likes of you and said, a person should suspect every man as if he is a thief." Don't be ignorant. Don't be foolish. Of course you should have people in your home. Of course you should open up your house. But it needs to be with seichel. It needs to make sense. If someone's going to be detrimental, if you're going to have a guest in the house who's going to use nivel peh and speak in a disgusting way and bring lashon hara to the Shabbos table, and your children are going to see that this is how a human being behaves and acts, and they're going to be influenced by such a person, and you have to use your brain. It's true there's a mitzvah hachnasas orchim, but not that your family needs to be the korban on the mizbeach of hachnasas orchim. That's not what it should be. It needs to be good. Make sure it's good. And no point. And I know I'm talking to a room of people who are often the ones doing the legwork of the preparing for hachnasas orchim. But it's important for the men to know as well. It's very nice that the husband wants to be machnas orchim and bring home guests from shul or things like that. But at whose expense? Is it going to make, he has to make sure he checks with the wife first and make sure that everything is prepared and it's going to be comfortable and it's going to be done in a nice way that's not going to be a burden on the house. It needs to be done in a way that's not going to make everybody, hate Hashem. The mitzvah's not there that we should hate Hashem. So it needs to be done in the proper way. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos in Perek Vav, Derech b'riyaso shel adam leyos nimshach b'deosav u'ma'asav acharayav. People are pulled after their sphere of people that they hang out with. But noe kaminag anshei medina so. People behave like the people that he keeps company with in that area, that city, that country. Lefichach tzarech adam hischaber l'tzadikim leishiv etzal chachamim. Therefore, if we know that we are influenced by our friends and who we are with, make sure that you are with people who influence you in a positive way. Etzal chachamim tamid kadei sheyilmen maseyam, with good people, and be distant from rishayim ha'ochim b'choshech, who'd go in the proper way. And therefore, a person needs to know that there's a mitzvah hachnasas orchim, but not that you need to have somebody who's going to be detrimental to you and your family. We can support this from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, the great machnas orchim, hosted his son from Hagar in his house, and he was having a terrible effect on the family, and he had terrible midos, and he was causing a lot of trouble, and Sarah said, you have to kick him out. This is not good for the family. Again, this is not entering into a general discussion about, children off the derech and difficulty and things like that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you have to listen to Sarah, and this is not the right environment to have such a person in this home. The Encyclopedia Talmudis elaborates that nowadays we live in a much more dangerous society. People coming off, can't have everybody off the street. There's a lot more uncertainty. And he says, the Encyclopedia Talmudis, that's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't include Hachnasas Orchim in its count of mitzvos, because it's not so simple. It's not so simple as, putting on tefillin and, not turning on the lights on Shabbos. There's a lot more going on to be Machnas Orchim, to host a person in your home and to take in strangers off the street. It's not so simple anymore. And therefore, he feels that's why it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud tells us an important rule, that the wife knows the guests. If you want to know if a guest is a good person or not, and this is a person that we should host or not host, the wife knows the guest. We see this from the beginning of Malachim Beis and the story of Elisha and Isha Shunamis. We know the story? Do I have to review it just in case? Elisha comes to the woman's home and she sets up an attic for him to sleep in. And the next part of the Navi is that Rachman al-Litzlan, she's given a son by Elisha, and then the son passes away, and Elisha is Mechai Mesim and brings the boy back to life. But before that whole famous episode, at the beginning of the Haftorah for Parshas Vayera, we have this idea that the woman says something about Elisha. Listen to this Gemara in Brachos. Vatomer al Isha. The Isha Shunamis said to her husband, Hinei na yadati ki ish Elokim kadoshu. I know that this guy Elisha, he's a holy person. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina mikan. We see from here, Sheha Isha makeres b'orchin yoser min ha'ish. That the wife knows the guests better than the husband. The husband thinks everyone's great and he's fantastic and wonderful, and the wife sees that this is not the right type of person. This is not the person that we should be having by our Shabbos table. So this is an Ish Kadosh. So how do we know he's Kadosh, says the Gemara? Mina Yada. So there's a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. She observes certain things about Elisha. There's a machlokas what she observed, but she observed certain things happening to him, and she realized that this person was an Ish Kadosh. And then the Gemara says, what does it mean? He's Kadosh. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Hu Kadosh, Umisharto Eno Kadosh. Elisha had a servant, a sidekick. His name was Gehazi. And Gehazi had not so nice midos, and we're not going to go into the not so nice things that he did. But she saw that this guy, without even him having acted out on his not nice midos yet, she saw that there was something off about the sidekick, and that Elisha was the real deal. So the Achronim asked the following question. What do you mean that the Isha has a special intuition to know, the wife has a special understanding of, you know, what's going to be with the what's going to be with the guests, and how to discern who's a good proper guest and who's an improper guest? She saw signs. The Elisha did things. There were the ways in his conduct that she observed. Anyone could figure that out. What does it have to do with the wife versus the husband? So they explain that it's true. But the wife is generally more in tune to the subtle things that go on in the house. She picks up on behavior that the husband's head is in the clouds and he doesn't really get it, and he's sitting by the Shabbos table and he sings Miros and he's laughing and talking and hosting people, and he's not really getting the dynamic of what's going on at the table, what's going on with the guests. And therefore, they say that this is what it meant. The husband, the husband of the Isha Shunamis, didn't really get what was going on, but she was sensitive to the reality. They tell a beautiful story that Rav Chaim Zaitchik tells a story about Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the Altar of Slobodka. They tell the story that it happened one time that there was a Talmud who there was rumors about this Talmud, he was doing bad things around the Yeshiva. And they went turned to Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel to ask what to do with the Talmud. And one day, the story is told that the hostess who was hosting this young man in her home for the yeshiva came in to speak to Rav Nassim Tzvi. V'toch sichasa, with the middle of her conversation, l'fi tuma, without being offered anything, sipra b'shivcho shel tamid hazeh. The woman started talking about how wonderful this young man was, such a balmido, such a special guy. V'Rav Nassim Tzvi shina miyad es mavato v'yechsel tamid. And he immediately understood that the Talmud was a nice person, a good guy, that the rumors were unfounded, and he should be kept in the yeshiva, and there should be no issue. And they asked him, what changed your mind? The Gemara says, he says, Ha'isha makaris ba'orchan yosim ha'ish. The woman comes in and says that this is a good guy, this is a fine young man, a good bachar, a catch, a good shidduch. Of course this is a good guy. If this is what she said, the Gemara says this is the minhag, this is the halacha, this is our perspective, and therefore that's how we follow. Now, let's get into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty and the particulars of the halacha. Just to keep in mind before we get into this, there are pertinent nafkaminas, practical halachic implications to hachnasas orchim, besides just the hosting. We're not going to get into them today because they're not so relevant, but you should just be aware of why are all these poskim discussing hachnasas orchim and why are they coming up in the laws of kashrus? Because in Yoredei and Siman Kuf Yud, there is a rule that you are allowed to rely on certain leniencies regarding kashrus, regarding the status of a piece of meat, if something gets mixed into something, if you are hosting guests, because you won't have enough food for the guests, and because you're fulfilling a mitzvah. And because of that rule, the poskim have to discuss, well, what's considered hachnasas orchim? Where can you be lenient, where you cannot be lenient? It also comes up in Hilcha Shabbos and Siman Shinlam and Gibel and Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses, again, being lenient by certain rabbinic laws, certain dinei derabbanan on Shabbos for the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim. And there as well, you need to understand, is this really hachnasas orchim, or is this something else? So that's the direction that these things are coming from, but we're not going to get into that discussion. You should obviously serve your guests the most kosher food that you have, and you should try not to rely on any kulas when it comes to Shabbos if you don't need to, if those issues come up, so we'll discuss them. But let's just assume for a second that everything else is going fine. So the first question is hachnasas orchim only for hosting distinguished, very chashuv people, wealthy people, tamid chachamim, you have a distinguished guest, someone coming in from out of town, you have to host him for an event, is that what hachnasas orchim is? Or does it apply to all types of people? The far majority of the posting that we have seem to go in line that it is really about hosting distinguished people. The Maharil of the great Rishonim, he is the earliest source who says this, and this is cited by Rav Yosef Engel, the Rav of Krakow, in his notes on our Gemara in Brachos, in Gemara in Shabbos, the Maharil writes in Lakutim that it is only for chashiv people. Hosting people who are poor is tzedakah, but it's not hachnasas orchim. It's a different mitzvah. It's a different type of reality. It's certainly a good thing to do, but it's not hachnasas orchim. The same idea is repeated by the Shlach HaKadosh, quoting his father, the Tosfos Yontiv, and the Prima Gadim, and the Yad Ephraim in Yoredeya, and the Pischei Tshuva in Yoredeya, and Simon Samach Tess. Simon Samach Tess is discussing issues of questionable meat that wasn't salted. The Yad of Rama on the Shulchan Aruch, the Imre Baruch on the Shulchan Aruch, the Zivzei Tzedek, the Kaf HaChaim, the Yalkut Yosef, or Rav Yosef's son, all quoting the same thing, that the mitzvah Achnasas Orchim is to host distinguished people, someone that gives you a sense of kavod, that such an individual is in my home. And it has to do with allowing certain leniencies, as we said before, and if it's not a full mitzvah, then you can't rely on those leniencies. And what's the proof of the Maharil? Where does the Maharil get this from? He says that Avram did hachnasas orchim with malachim, and malachim are very chashiv people. They're very special. Everyone would be honored to host a malach, an angel, in their home. And therefore we see that hachnasas orchim is by malachim. What's the question you're going to ask me? Good. Okay. Now the above reasoning is questionable because it's not clear that Avram knew that they were malachim. And that is a machlokus in the Midrashim. It's not clear that Avram understood what was going on. The Shlah makes this very point, arguing against his father. The Shlah argues with his father and says, what are you talking about? He thought they were Arabs with dirt on their feet. And that's it. He hosted them regardless of who they were. However, there is a Medrash Rabbah that is quoted. Listen to this. Im roa ani shechina mamtenes aleihem. Avram says, I see that the Shechina is resting on those three people. Ani yodea shehem b'nei adam gedolim. I know that they are great people. So there is a reading of Chazal that says that Avram knew that they were special people. And that's why he broke away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to go greet those other people. I understand that does not make you feel warm and fuzzy inside, but nevertheless, that is one of the readings in the Midrashim. In fact, this is the understanding of the Netziv. The Netziv, in his commentary on the Torah, in the Emek Davar, says that it's pashut, it's simple, that we don't simply push away the Shechina. If Hashem comes to you and starts talking to you, you don't simply push Hashem away and say, oh, sorry, you know, I gotta go take the bread out of the oven, guests are coming over. It's not so simple, says the Netziv. He says, in the case of Avram, Avram saw that these were special people, and therefore he felt it was only proper for him to take care of them and not let one of his servants attend to them. Meaning Avram wasn't going to disregard these three people. Avram's suffix, Avram's debate was, should I go take the three people in, or should I send one of my servants to go take care of them? The Chiddush is that Avram went himself, and he didn't send one of his servants. That's how the Netziv reads the Parsha. Yet comes Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in the Yevon Yisrael, and he says, Achnasas Orchim is Bein La'aniyim, Bein La'ashirim. The person can be very wealthy, the person can be very poor. The Chafetz Chaim writes in the Avos Chesed, he agrees that if you do Achnasas Orchim for the poor, it's a double mitzvah. It's not either or, it's tzedakah, and it's also Achnasas Orchim. You get two for the price of one. And this is the Shita of the Pele Yoetz and the Yaskel D'Avdi, Rav Avadja Hadayu, who's the Rav of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yitzhak Sternhold, who's a Rav in Baltimore, writes in his Koch V'Yitzhak and Chelik Bein, and the Pischei Oel, which is a safer, a modern safer on Hachnasas Orchim, he wants to say that even the Maharil agrees that there's a mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim for people who are not distinguished, but there's only a mitzvah of being mechabed guests if they're worthy of kavod. Meaning there's two parts to Hachnasas Orchim. There's hosting the person in my house, and then there's going above and beyond, giving them extra kavod, giving, you know, putting a mint on the pillow, whatever it is that's going to give them a sense of kavod, that's something extra beyond, says the Sefer Pesach Oel. In fact, the Michtav Meliyahu, Rav Dessler, writes in his Chelek Aleph, he says, Ki Hachnasas Orchim afilu lepechosim beyoser. Hachnasas Orchim is even for people you think to be the lowest of the low. Hihi Kabbalas HaShechina is still a form of accepting the Shechina. Gedolav Amuka beyoser. It's great and it's deep. Afilu menavua. It's greater than nevua. Shihadveikas hachi alyonah shemantanos hashemayim. Being Mekabal Orchim, accepting guests, is greater than receiving nevua from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even lepechusim b'yosu, even people you think are not so great. And therefore, certainly we have great, great, great poskim and great, great opinions who are online to say that it's still achnasas orachim, even if your guest is not the Queen of England or somewhere in between. And that certainly is something to rely on. Okay, is there achnasas orachim to host a non-Jew? That's certainly a question that can come up. So we have here a machlokes as well, the Sefer HaChaim, the brother of the Maharal. The Maharal had a brother, and I guess unfortunately for him, his brother, the Maharal of Prague, became more famous. And therefore, we know his brother as the brother of the Maharal. See, there is sibling issues going back even 500 years. So he writes in the Sefer HaChaim that we can learn from Avram Avinu that it also applies to Gayim because Avram thought that his guests were Arabs, and therefore that's what his proof to say it applies to Gayim. The Chafetz Chaim, the Avos Chesed, claims that Avram Avinu did not fulfill the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orachim b'shleimus. It wasn't a real Hachnasas Orachim because they weren't Jewish, and therefore this is not what the Torah intended, and there was no mitzvah of Hachnasas Orachim until the Jewish people came around in its most proper, you know, full sense of the word. But certainly it's important to be nice to everyone. Next, the question was asked, is simply having over your friends that you have over 50 times already for a meal on Shabbos, is that Hachnasas Orachim? So this question was asked by the Trumas Hadeshen. So the Trumas Hadeshen writes in Chelek Aleph and Siman Ayin Beis. He says that we are lenient for Dinei Derabanan, for rabbinic laws, as we said, B'mako Mitzvah, and therefore you need to know. Your friends, who you've had over 50 times, are coming over. And now, you know, the food isn't completely right. You may have to ask a non-Jew to put something on the stove for Shabbos lunch, something like that. Can you be lenient in such a case? So he says, does this apply for the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orachim? And he says that if they are guests in your home, you can be lenient for their kavod and needs. However, if this is only for a guest who's staying with, this is only for a guest who is staying with you, sleeping over as well. If they're only eating with you, says the Trumas Hadeshen, then there's no leniency to violate that derabanan on Shabbos for the sake of the guests, if they're only eating with you. So how do we paskin? The Beis Yosef writes in Siman Shin Lamed Gimel that it is pashut, that if you are only having guests for a meal and they are not actually staying with you, it is not a sudas mitzvah of Hachnasas Orachim. This is cited by the Ramah and the Tosas Yontif and the Ad Ephraim and the Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnayos and the Chayadam, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Balatanya, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Kaf HaChaim, and Rav Moshe Feinstein and Nigros Moshe and Evan Ezer in Chelek Aleph Siman Sadi Dalad. It is not Hachnasas Orachim, they say, to simply have over your friends for a Shabbos lunch. The Prima Gadim says that anyone who comes from another city is considered being Machnas Orachim. So if they're walking in, even though it's only for lunch, that is Hachnasas Orachim. I guess we could discuss what is another city, but for, it would seem to be that if it has to be something that they're coming from a different place, this is cited by the Mishnah Berurah. What about hosting Bachrim in Yeshiva? You have a number of yeshivas in the town, and you host a Bachram over, you want to have yeshiva Bachram over, you have, you know, a nephew who is in some yeshiva and he wants to come for Shabbos, so is that considered Hachnasas Orachim? So the Shla writes in the Shara Osios, he says, I praise the people of his community for hosting Limudei Torah, Lom Dei Torah, people who learn Torah in their homes for a meal. And this is cited by the Elia Rabba and Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kofpe and the Mishnah Berurah. And this is certainly the case of the Yeshiva Bachar as a Talmud Chacham. The Prima Gadim writes, Ubavanosenu HaRabban, the Prima Gadim lived in the 1700s. He says, unfortunately, Pasku Yeshivas Babinos Poland, there are no more yeshivas in Poland. Vigamba Ashkenaz Nismatu, there are no more yeshivas really in Germany. Hashem Yerachim B'meheru Yibayamenu, Yivashe Yehuda Yerushalayim Amen. And eventually Hashem should bring back the yeshivas. And the Prima Gadim is bemoaning the fact that we cannot fulfill the mitzvah Achnasas Orachim for Yeshiva Bachar because the yeshivas in Poland at that time had decreased and there were not so many yeshiva bachrim.
A lot of yeshivas, and not so much around here, in Baltimore.
Yeah.
They host the boys.
They give them food.
They give them
for
food.
Sure.
They host them.
I mean, the people in the yeshiva will host them.
The people in the women.
Yeah.
The mothers.
So the Shla says that that's considered Hachnasas Orachim to host people who learn Torah.
Well,
The seminary? Sure, it's all you said. The Shlach says, Lom de Torah. If they're learning Torah, so then certainly we can. It's a mitzvah to host them. Writes Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos of Rav Ungvar, so he writes in Chelek Tazayin, he says that it's not Hachnasas Orchim for the married children to host their parents for Shabbos. Yes. That's not Hachnasas Orchim. He says it is Kibbutz Avim. It is honoring their parents, but it's not Hachnasas Orchim for the married kids to host their parents. And then Rav Vazner writes in the Shevet HaLevi, in the newest edition of the Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Yudalef that was published after he passed away, he says that if you are inviting your parents in order to make it easier for them, so your parents don't have to make a Shabbos for themselves, then that's considered Hachnasas Orchim. But if you're having them because, you know, you want your parents to watch the kids so you can take a nap on Shabbos, that's not Hachnasas Orchim. But if you're having because you want your parents to have a Shabbos off and relax, then that is considered the mitzvah of hosting guests. However, comes the brother of the Maharal again, and he writes in the Sefer HaChaim that having friends over to eat is Hachnasas Orchim. And this is cited by the Tamei Menhagim and Dayan Weiss, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, who was the Rav of the Eidah Charedis in Chelek Vav and Simen Kufla Amenhei in the Menchas Yitzchak. He says it is considered Hachnasas Orchim to have guests over, friends over on Shabbos, a Sudas Reyes, just a friendly guest, a friendly meeting of people together is certainly a mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. So, I guess according to some people, it is Hachnasas Orchim, and it's a nice thing to do. But according to some, you'll get schar, but it's not what we consider to be the primary form of Hachnasas Orchim. We'll return to this idea again later on. Comes the Magen Avraham in our Siman and Shinlam and Gimel, and he points out that when you are Machnas Orchim, it doesn't make the meal a Sudas Mitzvah. Rather, you who are hosting it are performing a mitzvah. But it doesn't mean that this meal, just because you're doing a mitzvah at the meal, doesn't mean it's a Sudas Mitzvah. That's not considered a Sudas Mitzvah. Just to touch upon a side point, which is not a discussion right now, there's a famous episode in Eretz Yisrael in which there was a restaurant in the days of a cook that served kosher meat in Tel Aviv, and the restaurant told Rav Cook that if we can't serve meat during the 9 days, all these people coming into our restaurant are going to go eat non-kosher food. So Rav Cook told them they could serve meat during the 9 days, and to serve these people kosher, because this is a great mitzvah of making sure that these people are eating kosher, and the mitzvah in itself, that you're bringing people closer to Yiddishkeit, is enough of a reason to serve meat. A circular logic. Meaning you're serving meat because it's a mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah to serve the meat to make sure they eat kosher. And this is an episode that's recorded by Rav Cook. What?
They made a seum.
What?
They made a seum.
So the Maharsham, the Rav of Brijam, says that if the guest pays, that it's not Hachnasas Orchim. If the guest is paying you to stay by your house, that is not considered the mitzvah of hosting. And he says there was this feeling amongst the innkeepers that they could charge people for staying with them on Shabbos because you're charging for a mitzvah. You're not allowed to charge people to do work for you on Shabbos. But you are allowed to charge if it's done l'tzorech mitzvah. So the innkeeper said, well, I'm doing a mitzvah hachnasas orchem, and therefore I can charge the people to stay with me for Shabbos because I'm involved in the mitzvah. So the Brijana Rav said, there's no mitzvah hachnasas orchem if you charge. So then the whole mitzvah falls away, and you're left with nothing. And this is cited by the Tzitzel Yezer and the Ravad Yosef and the Abiyah Omer. There's a beautiful story told by Rabbi Krohn in the introduction to his first book, The Maggid Speaks. He writes about the relationship, the beautiful relationship between his father and Rav Shalom Shvadron, the famed Maggid of Yerushalayim. It's one of my favorite stories, so I'll just share with you just a little piece about the end. He writes that his father fell in love with Rav Shalom Shvadron. He had gotten tapes, big old-fashioned tapes from his lectures in Yerushalayim in the 40s and the 50s, and he fell in love with him, and he became obsessed with him. And when Rabbi Krohn was a young man, not the father, but Rabbi Pesach Krohn that we know, was a young man, his father sent him to the Knesset Gadol in Eretz Yisrael to meet Gadolim, and he came back and he made a kesher, and eventually Rav Shalom Shadron came to America to raise money for the yeshivas, and Rabbi Krohn's father decided that he wanted to host Rav Shalom Shadron in his home. And he went to the boat to meet him, And he, whatever plans there were for Rav Shalom to stay with somebody else, Rabbi Krohn's father kind of, you know, moved those plans aside, and he made sure that he was going to host them. Rabbi Krohn writes that that his father began working feverishly to set up a guest room on the third floor. He installed a phone next to the bed. He brought up a small empty bookcase, a desk, a chair for a man he had never met and wouldn't recognize, and wasn't even sure if he would stay in his home. And he somehow at the time, it didn't seem unusual. It was just exciting. And on the ride home from the boat, from the airport, so his father told Rav Shalom, undoubtedly you have many customs and standards. Let me assure you that you will not inconvenience you in any way. To the contrary, our home is yours, and we are here to serve you. And then Rav Shalom settles in, and then he asks him, like, why are you being so nice to me? And he explains to him the whole background. And then Rav Shalom insisted that he would remain in our home only if the condition that he'd be allowed to pay rent. At first, he says, my father wouldn't hear of it. But Rav Shalom insisted he would move out if he didn't let him pay rent. And my father had no choice, and he reluctantly agreed to accept rent from Rav Shalom. And then he goes on to describe the amazing time in America, and how the Krohn family became very close with the Shradron family, and how the relationship built, and all the amazing stories. And at the very end of this whole introduction, listen to what happens. So it's time after 5 months for Rav Shalom to go back to Yerushalayim. And he's going back in a boat, and in the privacy of Rav Shalom's cabin, he says, my father handed him a large envelope. And he said, this is your rent money of the last 5 months. And before Rav Shalom could utter a startled word, my father continued, I never even considered that I would take a penny for you being at our home. If anything, we should have been paying you. And these are the exact bills you gave me. I never used them. They went straight into this envelope. Rav Shalom was taken aback by the sudden revelation. Tell me, he laughed, if this was your intent all along, why did you quote such a high price for the rent? So my father smiled and said, I wanted you to feel as free as possible in our home. If you felt you weren't paying enough, you might have hesitated to take advantage of the phones, the electricity, and the food. But if you were paying a good price, you would feel free to do as you pleased. With tears in their eyes, the two men embraced as they bid each other farewell. And that's how they left each other. And he went back onto the boat. So when we talk about charging people for a price for Achnasas Orchem, that's the way to charge people for Achnasas Orchem. In a way that you give them back in such a way that they would feel comfortable in your home. Comes the Ein Elyo, Rav Elyo Shik, on our Gemara in Shabbos that we've been quoting from, that he heard from Rav Chaim of Elazhin, that it's time to daven, and you are hosting guests, you should not daven, and instead take care of your guests, because taking care of guests is greater than being mekabel pei shechina, going to speak with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In the halichos shlomo, of the halachos of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach, the grandchildren record that Rosh Shlomo Zalman felt that technically hachnasas orchem is more important than tefillah betzibor. And he said, you should only leave for tefillah betzibor davening with a minyan if the guest will understand and not be offended if you excuse yourself for a few minutes. But if you walk out and go daven and your guest is going to be upset and annoyed and not understand what's going on, then you must stay and host them and stay with them. Because of the greatness of Hachnasas Orchem and making your guests feel as comfortable as possible. The Chavetz Chaim's son, Reb Leib, records that when his father had guests, when the Chafetz Chaim had guests, his father would sing Shalom Aleichem and Eish Yischael until after Hamotzi, because his guests were hungry, and it wasn't right to hold them off from eating, and he would sing the Zmiros later on, and wouldn't bother the guests, because he was so concerned that his guests feel comfortable in his home, and not waiting for the food. Often the Chafetz Chaim would host people who maybe didn't have a chance to eat a meal all week, and were starving, and therefore it was important for them to get straight to the food, and not to waste time. And it's just important to keep an eye on, when you're hosting guests, it's important to make them feel comfortable. Doesn't mean you have to sacrifice on your values, and you have to sacrifice on what's important, but at the same time, you need to be a little bit soft, and understanding that when you're bringing guests into your home, you're there for them. There's a idea recorded by the Chazon Ish. I don't remember where, but the Chazon Ish writes that somebody walks into shul Friday night, and they see that there's a person that has a beautiful home and a beautiful Shabbos table, and they see that there's a person there who looks from out of town, doesn't look like he has a place to go, and he goes over to the person and says, you know, can I help you? Do you need a place for Shabbos? And the individual says, oh, thank you so much for asking. You know, this guy over here, he already invited me. I'm taken care of. Thank you very much. Chazanish says there are two ways to react. On one hand, a person may say, ah, Baruch Hashem, this Jew is taken care of. My purpose here is to make other people feel comfortable. And now I know this Jew is being provided for. Everything is good. But some people, says the Chazanish, say, ah, it's not fair. I wanted the mitzvah. I wanted the opportunity of the Achnas Zorachim. Why is it fair? And I wanted the chance to host this person. Why are you doing Achnas Zorachim? Are you doing Achnas Zorachim so you can tell people that you are great at Achnas Zorachim? Or are you hosting people because people need something and you're there to help them out? Is it proper to ask your guests for a Dvar Torah at the Shabbos table? Is it proper to put your guests on the spot and ask them to say a Dvar Torah if you don't know that they have a Dvar Torah? So writes the Sefer Chassidim of Yudah Chassid in Simin Shin Yud Beis, Im Yavo Lebeis Chaoreach, if a guest comes to your home, Al Tish Alom Dvar Torah, don't ask him for a Dvar Torah, Ela Imkin Sheteida Sheidela Hashiv, unless you know that he has a Dvar Torah, O Tisha Lo Beino Levencha Shol Tavayesh, or ask him privately, not in front of the whole table, so you don't embarrass him. It's very nice that you want to have Divrei Torah at your Shabbos table, but not at the expense of somebody being uncomfortable. Make sure the person has something beforehand. You have something prepared. It's not your guest's job to entertain your Shabbos table. Yes?
If you have a whole table full of friends, is it proper, because I've done this, to say, would anyone like to say Divrei Torah? That's not putting anybody.
That's fair. That's for sure. That's not putting anybody on the spot. I think that's certainly fair. But to go pick somebody out, I'm a rabbi, I generally have something prepared, but they expect, it's going to be expected that the rabbi has something to say. And it's true, the rabbi generally should have something to say. The rabbi should always have something to say. But at the same time, you need to be aware that, the guests are not there for your entertainment, they're not there to, inspire your Shabbos table. It's your Shabbos table. If you want to have a Dvar Torah, so you find a Dvar Torah. It's not your guest's job.
How about Zmiros?
What about Zmiros? I would say it probably goes under the same idea. The person has a beautiful voice. He's not there again to entertain you with his beautiful voice. Rav Asher Weiss has a piece in his Sefer on the Shabbos Miros, where he writes about seeing Miros to the table if you have guests and making them uncomfortable. But a person doesn't want to sing, so you have to. I know it's hard to understand for the music teacher, but some people. No, for sure. No, 100%. No, meaning to put somebody on the spot. Let's say it's you. Let's say there's only like three people at the table, and it's you and this other person. So you have to be sensitive to what's going on. If you want to carry the whole thing by yourself, then by all means, sing the whole time. Rav Yaakov Emden repeats this in his Siddur as well. You shouldn't press the guest for a Dvar Torah. He may be tired from his travels. He may be getting comfortable. He doesn't want to speak so much. And this is important to note as well. The Kaf HaChaim writes, cites the Sefer HaBris about those people who don't have a home or money. How can those people who don't have a home fulfill the mitzvah of Hachnas HaSorachim? Listen to what he writes. He says, V'im ein lecha bayis v'lo mamon, if you have no home and no money, l'cha'al pesach shar ha'yir, then go to the front of the entrance of the city. U'l'kishiyavo me'achad achecha be'achad sharecha, and when another Jew comes into the city, leich nacho, so walk over to him, elamenucha, with kindness and tranquility, ve'alabeis habal ha'mekabal orchem, and take him to the home of a place that will accept guests, b'sefer panim yafos, with a smile. V'tarutz lifnei ha'orchem, latur lehem menucha, and go in front of them, and show them where things are in the city, help people out, get a place to stay for them, u'lenochzam ha'derech shiyavo sham tedaber ma'bal ha'bayis b'shvilam, act on their behalf, speak to the host, make sure they're going to get comfortable. V'tatkin lehem kol tzorcham, v'yachshav lecha zekeilu hachnasam leveischa v'heimoch le'shulchanacha. If you help somebody get comfortable, even though you may not have the place to do it, you may not have the extra room, but you make them feel comfortable in another location, that is your fulfillment of Hachnas HaSorachim. It doesn't always have to be a certain image of what you think Hachnas HaSorachim looks like. In fact, they record in the name of Chazanish, and it's quoted by other poskim, that one may technically fulfill Hachnas HaSorachim by giving somebody a ride, by hosting them in your car. And this is also a way to make people feel comfortable in your personal space, to make sure that people feel comfortable in the area around them as well. There is another aspect that we're not getting into right now. That's the importance of escorting guests. This is a Gemara that we learn out from the Parsha of Egla Arufa. If you find a body in the field that no one can claim, nobody knows where the body belongs to, there's a whole process that the courts have to go through in order to wash their hands of any crime to make sure they weren't responsible. And in the midst of that discussion, the basin says that we were not negligent in taking care of this person in our city. And the Gemara there learns that the importance of escorting guests from your home to safety. Now, nowadays, generally, we live in the suburbs or in a city, and we don't generally let our guests wander off into the wilderness, you know, before they go to their next destination. But there is still a proper thing to escort your guests out of your house, at least dalad amos, 6 to 8 feet, to bring them out of the house, to make sure, to show that you love them. Part of the idea of being malav, escorting a guest, is to show that you enjoyed having them with you, instead of, you know, on the way out and just slamming the door on their back. That doesn't necessarily make them feel so great. And therefore, we should be aware of this specific idea of being malav, escorting guests, but not our discussion for right now as well. What I do want to discuss is a fascinating pshat in a Gemara that we are familiar with, that we will be intimately familiar with in the next few days as we approach Tisha B'Av, and to discuss a beautiful explanation of this Gemara. I didn't bring you the Gemara because I didn't want to create a Seamus, but you all know the Gemara, and I'll tell it to you outside the regular way, and then we'll spin it the different way. There was a city near Sarajevo where almost the entire community was learned, Shomer Torah, Mitzvos, Tamid HaChachamim, but they were renowned for their stinginess and their disregard of the Mitzvah Hachnasas Orchem. They generally did not run to host people in their home. And every guest that came to their town would be analyzed and scrutinized, whether he was frum enough to be in my home, whether he was good enough to stay with me, he was medaktik in Mitzvos. And the after Rav, the Ohav Yisrael, Rav Avraham Yehoshua Heschel, was the rabbi in a city in Romania, a nearby area. And one time he was invited to spend Shabbos in the city in Sarajevo. And at the Shal Shudas, he made the following comment. He said, I've seen and I've heard that this is a city of Talmidei Chacham, of great people, of great potential and great wisdom. He says, if that's the case, then come together with me and let's learn a well-known Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Gittin tells us, Akamsa Ubar Kamsa Charv Yushalayim. Because of the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Yushalayim was destroyed. And the story is told, Dahod Gavarach me Kamsa Ubal de Bebe Bar Kamsa. There was a man named Kamsa, there's another man named Bar Kamsa, and there was a mistake in the invitations. And Bar Kamsa was sent an invitation to the meal of the party instead of Kamsa. And he came to the party, and the host saw him sitting there, and he saw this person that he was an enemy with. And he told him, Kum Puk, get up and get out of my house. And Bar Kamsa said back to him, you see, I'm here by mistake, whatever it is, don't embarrass me. Let me just pay for what I ate here at the Suda and leave me alone. And he told him, get out of here, even if you paid for half the Suda. He said, I'll pay for half the Suda. And he said, no, get out of here, I don't want your money at all. He said, I'll pay for the entire Suda. Just don't embarrass me and kick me out of the house. And the guy said, get out of my house. And he picked him, nakti biyadeha. He put his hand on him. And he picked him up, and he threw him out of the house. And the guy was thrown out of the house, and he said, Hoil v'havi yasfi rabbanan. The rabbis were sitting here, and they saw what happened to me. I'm now going to go and pay back my Jewish brethren. And he went to the Caesar, to the Caesar, and he said, the Jewish people are rebelling against you. And he said, who says such a thing? And he says, let's test it, and we'll bring a korban. We'll bring a sacrifice to the Mizbeach. And as he brought the sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, he put a mum. And the discussion is, did he put the mum on the lip? Did he put the mum on the eye of the animal? And eventually, as we know the story, the korban was not accepted. And the Romans thought the Jewish people were rebelling. And Akamsu Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. So the after Rav turned to the Jews present at the Shal Shudas and asked, you're all Talmidei Chachamim, so can you please explain to me how, because of the actions of two unknown Jews, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we were sent into Galus? How is that fair? How is that even, forget alone, Midas HaRachamim? How is it even Midas HaDin? It's not even fair, strict judgment. It makes absolutely no sense. So the After Rav began by explaining that this Gemara is not speaking about two specific people named Kamsa Bar Kamsa that we never met. Rather, he said, we are talking about two types of Jews who that we come in contact with every single day. One is a Kamsa. A Kamsa It means that they are stingy, or meaning together. A kametz in the Beis HaMikdash is the korban that the Kohen would close his hands around. A kametz means those people who are in the club. Those people who are in, those people who have friends, those people who know the community. And the other people are bar kametzah. What does bar mean? Bar means outside. In Gemara, a baraisa means a piece of Torah Shebaal Peh that is outside the Mishnah. Bar kametzah means those people who are outside the clique, outside the circle of friends who don't necessarily have people to turn to. So he said, a person had a suda in his home in the days of Yerushalayim. And in honor of the suda, he told his servants to go invite all of the kametzah, the inn people, the people who are part of the club, and those who are wealthy in Talmidei Chachamim. However, the servant made a mistake, and he invited to the suda one bar kamtsa, a person who is outside the clique of people, and not part of the in crowd. And when the host came to his party and he saw that there was a bar kamtsa, an outsider, in his insider party, he was not pleased. And he forcefully asked the loner to leave, and he was so embarrassed by not being part of the party, and he begged and borrowed money in order to stay, but the kamtsa refused, and he threw him out. The Talmidei Chachamim, who were sitting there observing what was going on, sat there and said nothing. And the Bar Kamsa was so upset by what happened, he decided he would go to the king and tell the Jews. So he went to the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. Not the Caesar. He went to the king of all kings. And he poured out his soul to the Ribono Shel Olam. And he said, your children are rebelling against you, Hashem. Look how they treat one another. And if you want to test them, I'll tell you that a korban was sent to them. The Gemara in the end of Chagiga says that Bizman Hazeh, that we have our shulchan and our homes, is our mizbeach. The table that a person hosts at, the table that a person eats at, is the mizbeach that he partakes from. And therefore, he says, they brought a korban to the table. An ani, an outsider, a bar kamtsa, was brought to the table, was brought to the shulchan, was brought to the mizbeach in our Beis HaMikdash, i.e. our homes, and they didn't allow the korban on the mizbeach. They refused to allow this bar kamtsa, this outsider, to come partake by the table. And they started to give him mumen. They started to passel the korban. One person said, there's something wrong with his lips. He talks funny. I don't understand his accent. He has a speech impediment. The other person said, there's something wrong with his eye. He looks funny. He looks a little bit off. He doesn't look the right way like the people I hang out with. And they started to put mumen. They started to passel this korban again and again and again, and to say that it was no good to be brought on the mizbeach. The Aftarov concluded, and this is the Aveira that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Not because of two people. Akamtsu bar kamtsa. Because those who were in the group didn't allow those who were outside the group to come in to their circle. And this is why the land was destroyed because of Achnasas Orchim, or the lack of Achnasas Orchim. The Navi Yecheskel says that land was destroyed because of stone. The sin of stone was to not invite people into your home. No one ever wants to feel like an outsider. But this was the feeling all over Eretz Yisrael. People felt that people didn't want them. There was no one to connect to. There was no one to relate to. There were cliques of people who were on the inside and didn't open up their homes to people who were on the outside. And he says that if we were to fulfill the mitzvah of Achnas Orchim b'Shleimus, it would certainly bring the Geula closer. So the Aftar Rav then points out there are two seemingly different paradigms of Achnas Orchim in the Torah. Avram Avinu hosts the Malachim, who came to his tent, and Lot also hosted Malachim, who came to stone. What was the difference? Avram took in his guests when they appeared as Arabs, who were dirty and dusty. But Lot only took in his guests when they appeared as distinguished Malachim. When we see very chashu people, we're mahadrim and mahadrim, we fight to who's going to stay in our house, and we fight to host them, we want to know if there's a scholar in residence, can he stay by us? That we want to fight over. But if someone needs a place to go, and they maybe are not, you know, the most pleasant people to be around with, so in such a case, we don't always necessarily run after them. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted in the Mesoras Moshe by his grandson, that you were allowed to clean sheets during the 9 days on a bed because of guests are coming. Rav Moshe says, Shehalom mut alav acharayas l'chabdu karoi, ve'ein ze b'chlal iser tes yamim. He says there's no concept of not hosting guests during the 9 days. De mitzvah achnasas orchem mitzvah gedola. For the mitzvah achnasas orchem, certainly during the 9 days you can do laundry to make sure that there are sheets for guests. And this idea of, yes?
How does that jive with the idea that achnasas orchem is only with distinguished people?
Correct. So we see that the meaning of Klal Yisrael is not like it's only for, it's not that it's only for distinguished people. The meaning of Klal Yisrael has been for those who are Machnas Orchim to open their homes for everyone. Hachnasas Orchim is for everyone, no matter what it is. We live in a community where Baruch Hashem, we are incredibly gracious and we are opening our homes all the time. But there are oftentimes people who are overlooked when it comes to Hachnasas Orchim. There may be an almana who is looking for a meal on Shabbos and does not want to be called Friday morning as an afterthought to say, you know, would you come to us for a Shabbos meal? Maybe that person who lives alone wants to get a call on Monday or Tuesday to know that someone thought of them before Shabbos, not as an afterthought, as one more piece of chicken, another piece of kugel before Shabbos. There are people who move into our communities. I cannot tell you how often it has happened that I find that I hear in different places that someone says, I went to a shul and I davened there for 4 weeks and not a single person came over to me and said hello to me. I didn't get a Shabbos invite at all for 4 weeks, so I went to daven somewhere else. How could it be that someone walks into a shul and someone doesn't notice after a week, I guess, you say maybe they're just visiting. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a person will say, no one invited me for a meal. That's issue number one. Number two, often people are intimidated by Achnasas Orchem because they feel it needs to be a certain standard. I don't have a palatial guest room with, you know, a certain amount of count thread on my cotton sheets to host my guests. I don't, I'm not the greatest cook in the world. I don't put out a tremendous spread. Honestly, people could care less. They just want people to care about them, to feel that people are interested in them as well. Even if you serve on paper or the plastic, and it's just a piece of chicken and another piece of kugel, and it's not something out of a fancy cookbook, and you're not cooking to impress anyone, people just want to feel invited and warm, that people love them. Again, it is easy to invite the same 10 people for the 50 Shabbos of the year. I get that it's easy. I understand. But it's much more bigger use of your time to think outside of your kamsa. Not that we're stingy or we're mean people, but very often we are stuck inside of our kamsa, and it's difficult for us to see bar kamsa, outside of our dalet amos. And certainly during this period, as we approach Tisha B'Av and we are going into the Yom Noraim, and there are many opportunities for hosting during the Yom Noraim, and there are many people who, especially during the Yom Noraim, feel that they are left alone, that nobody's looking at them, and nobody's paying attention to them. It is a great opportunity to look outside of the Rolodex on your phone, if people have such things anymore, and to look at people who perhaps maybe are not your closest friends, and not the people that you always turn to, and not the people you're most comfortable with, and invite them for a meal, for a Shabbos lunch. It will do wonders for yourself. It will do wonders for Klal Yisrael to open up and make sure that everybody feels kamsa and does not feel kamsa. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us with all of the brachos of Achnasas Orchem, of Arichas Yamim, and children, and Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina, and we should be Kabbal Pnei Hashchina, Amen.